Again and again, we have this gigantic privilege of examining the Bible very carefully as to what God would teach us. We have been in the book of Jeremiah. We've come down to Jeremiah 31, and in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, saith Jehovah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." I want to go back to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17, verse 11. "Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token." That's the key word. It's a sign of the covenant between me and you. "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you," and so on. It is a sign. It is pointing to something. And of course, we've learned a long time ago that circumcision was pointing to the fact that we have to have our sins cut off. Like water baptism, we have to have our sins washed away. And the action of circumcision did not cut away our sins. The action of water baptism did not wash away our sins. But they were pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who took upon himself our sins and had them washed away, had them cut off. And this is where, this is why the sign of the covenant was circumcision. It was pointing to the fact that God's law, God's law calls for the fact that God would have a people for himself. That was God's plan. We know this because already from he chose those that he planned to save from the beginning of the world. But the key to their eternal bliss with God, the key is that Christ had to pay for their sins. And so this, and that was typified or pointed to by circumcision. Therefore, God sums it up in a simple statement that simply says the sign of the covenant is circumcision. Or even more directly, he says in verse 10 that "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." And it has to do with indicating that the key to the whole law of God is the fact that Christ had to pay for our sins. There's no way of mankind obeying the law. We are all spiritually dead in our sins. Now, there's this very surprising, and now here, God here, remember, this is 600 years, actually 621 years before God actually began to put the covenant in written form. But God is already giving us his plan 621 years earlier than when he began to put it into written form. And we saw that it was at the time that Moses went on Mount Sinai in the year 1447 B.C. that he actually was given the first written document that became the written copy of the covenant of God or the law of God, and they were the Ten Commandments. That's why the Ten Commandments were called the covenant. And from that time on, God continued to put the covenant in written form, and we saw that once God began to put the covenant in written form, never again are we ever to look for any part of the covenant document from any other source than the written form, the Bible. We are not to be looking for it from any other place. It is all here in the Bible. But now we just want to reflect on something. This is occurring now, that God is anticipating or telling us or summing up what His covenant is. It's involved with the kingdom of God, the land that I will give you. It's everlasting. The major key to it is circumcision. That is the fact that Christ would be cut off for our sins. But then we read, when in verse 24, let's start with verse 23 of Genesis 17. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. In other words, he is being obedient to God to carry out this sign that was pointing to how God would effectuate this whole covenant. And then we read something very surprising. In verse 24, Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Well, that in itself is not surprising. God gave time information all through the Bible. And when he says Abraham is 99 years old, that helps us to peg this to the year 2068 B.C. when we work through the calendars of the Bible. And that immediately identifies this grand moment when God is giving this very important information to Abraham to identify it so we know in time, so we know it was exactly 621 years God began to give the written word to Moses in the year 1447 B.C. And incidentally, you know, when we break that 621 down, and these are the kind of patterns that the Bible comes through with all the time, indicating that God is not erratic or haphazard in what He is doing. He's got a very structured plan. 621 breaks down into 3 times 3 times 3 times 23. And we know the number 3 repeatedly in the Bible emphasizes the purpose of God. The purpose. And 3 times 3 times 3, not only do we have the number 3, but it's 3 times 3. And so God is really driving home, it is the purpose of God. And then we find the surprising number 23. 3 times 3 times 3 times 23. Well, now, why would God do that? Why would God include the number 23? The number 23 invariably has to do with judgment. But you know, what brings about sin? The law of God. The New Testament teaches us that if there is no law, there is no sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. And the more law you have, the more sin there is. And so, on the one hand, the covenant is a glorious covenant of salvation. But on the other hand, it is also emphasizes and magnifies the fact that man's heart is sinful. And that's very necessary to know so that we see our desperate need of salvation, and also we see the glory of God's salvation plan. The other curious thing is that 2068 B.C., when Abraham was circumcised, is exactly 2,100 years from the cross, from 33 A.D. If you add 2068 plus 33 and subtract 1, because there's no year zero, we get to 2,100. And that, of course, is 3 times 7 times 100. And that is complete perfection of God's purpose. It all homes in on the cross. That is the center point. Then if we go one more step, you know, if we add, remember that it was at the time of Moses, 1447 B.C., when the first covenant, the Old Testament, was begun to be written. And then when we in A.D. 33, it was about that time, 33 A.D., when God began to write the second part of the covenant, the New Testament, church age continued until 1988, and that in 1988 is the time when God began to open up our understanding of a lot of the covenant like we've never understood it before. And if we go from 2068, when God is speaking to Abraham, to 1988, inclusive, it's 4,056 years. 4,056 years. And, again, surprising. No, not surprising. But it's the sum of 3, God's purpose, times 2, times 2, times 2. And what is 2? 2 always has to do in the Bible with those who are commissioned to send forth the gospel. And this has been going on for 1,955 years until the year 1988. But then it's also times 13 times 13. 13 and 13, what is the significance of number 13? It is the time of the end. 13,000 years after 11,013 B.C. to the year 1988 is exactly 13,000 years. And so this 4,056 years from the time he's speaking to Abraham until 1988 is pointing right to the time of the end. And this is where we are today. But now there's another thing about Abraham was 99 years old. But the next verse we read is really surprising. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. I'm reading verse 24. When he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. You know, that is enough to shake us up and shock us, because God is not just saying incidentally Ishmael was circumcised the same day with his father Abraham, but God is driving home the point. He's emphasizing something here, because it was enough when he said Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Well, all right, we know the truth now. Abraham was 99 and Ishmael was 13. But notice, God has to add another sentence. And God doesn't do anything accidental. He doesn't do anything casually. He has a purpose. He says, in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. So he's really making certain that we understand this. Look at this. This is important. There's something very important going on here. Well, now we really get into trouble. Because who was Ishmael? He was the son of Hagar. Now the covenant itself, the Bible itself, declares to us in Galatians 4. Go back to Galatians 4. And here we just find an enormous problem. An enormous problem. Because it says here, where God is speaking in verse 24, that there are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generates to bondage, which is Hagar. Hagar. Hagar was the mother of Ishmael. Ishmael. Hagar is Mount Sinai. In other words, God here is speaking about a strange covenant that man makes, in which they are trying to get right with God by keeping the law. And they're typifying that by Abraham's action in taking Hagar to try to produce the seed that had been promised. He tried to do it by his actions. And so Ishmael is a product of that. And so he says in verse 30, cast out the bondwoman. That's Hagar, that is trying to get to heaven by keeping the law. And her son. Who was her son? Ishmael. Ishmael is her son. Cast her out, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. The free woman was Sarah, of course, and Isaac was the true heir. He was the representation of the true covenant. But here we see clear language, cast her out. Cast out her son. In other words, we have a real problem. Because in Genesis 17, God is saying Abraham was circumcised when he was 99 years old. Ishmael was circumcised. Listen. Abraham, or Ishmael, also the son of the bondwoman, was circumcised at the age of 13. Both of them were circumcised on the same day. Can't you hear me? God is saying. And so how does that tie in here with Galatians chapter 4? We got a real problem. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, we know that when Abraham was circumcised, it was pointing to the fact that he and his seed were children of God. In fact, 99, if we break that down into its important numbers, it's 3 times 3 times 11. 3 times 3 times 11. What's 3 again? It's the purpose of God. What is the number 11? It is signifying the first coming of the Lord Jesus, the cross. That was 11,000 years, within a few years exactly 11,000 years from creation. Just like the number 13 points to the end of the world, the last days in which we are living. The number 11 points to the cross. And we know that the fulfillment of the covenant on behalf what circumcision represented all focuses on the fact that Christ came to make payment for our sins. But what about Ishmael? And God is insisting he was 13 years old. Well, now the number 13 can't be broken down. We can't break that down into any smaller numbers. So we have the number 13. And what does the number 13 point to? What does the number 13 point to? Well, it points to the end of the world. It points to 1988, when God is bringing to pass the end time events, beginning with the judgment on the churches, and then that great salvation plan of that during the final 17 years. Well, how can Ishmael fit into that? How can Ishmael fit into that? Well, you know, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 23, Deuteronomy 23, there we read that God used the Moabites and an illegitimate son to typify those who can never come into the kingdom of God. In verse 2, a bastard, that is an illegitimate son, shall not enter into the congregation of Jehovah, even to his tenth generation, shall he not enter into the congregation of Jehovah. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter in into the congregation of Jehovah forever. Forever. Do you see that? In other words, if you're a Moabite, forget it. No possibility of salvation. And God makes sure that we don't misunderstand that. He's using the Moabites as an illustration, but he is, and his experiences with them, but he is not saying that in individual cases a Moabite cannot become saved. And that is why when you read the book of Ruth, who is the heroine of the book of Ruth? Ruth? And what does it always say again and again? Ruth, the Moabitess. Ruth, the Moabitess. Ruth, the Moabitess. In other words, she absolutely did become saved. And so God is saying, while I use this as an illustration, that doesn't mean that you can't become saved. Well, that tells us something. Ishmael was circumcised when he was 13 years old. That implies that God has some kind of a salvation program for Ishmael. That is, those who are the literal descendants of Ishmael. He has some kind of a plan. Even though he used Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, as a picture of those who cannot enter the kingdom of God because they have made their own covenant, because they are trying to get into heaven on a covenant of works. But that does not mean that if you are a descendant of Ishmael, that you cannot become saved any more than if you are a Moabite, literally a Moabite, you cannot become saved. And so now we are reading here that there is a hope for the descendants of Ishmael. And in our next study, we're going to start out by looking at a couple of passages that underscore this, that indeed God has a wonderful plan for the descendants of Ishmael. And we'll get into that in our next study. And then we're going to go from here, we're going to go on into Hebrews again and look more carefully at the development of this covenant in our day. And finally, the grand development is that in our day, God has a whole new salvation plan. No, it's not new. It's only new in the sense that we are understanding it for the first time. It's always been in the Bible, but it has not been understood. And it is a grand salvation plan that will enable God is using in order that a great multitude might become saved.